The title of the message this morning is Christ the Counselor. The verse that talks about the five names given to Christ in this passage of Scripture, it is my intent to deal with each of those in a message. So last week we considered the wonderful name of Christ, which is wonderful. And this morning we're looking at Counselor. We will look also at the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A counselor is not a word that we associate with Christ. If I went over the congregation this morning, asked you to give a title, give a name for Christ, whatever you would think of. And by the way, there are over 200 of them in the Scripture. Probably we would go a long time till anybody would say, oh, by the way, yes, he's the Counselor. You wouldn't think of that being associated with Christ, but it is very definitely in the Bible. And it's amazing how often the Scriptures talk about the Counselor, or on the human level of people seeking counsel, giving counsel. We're going to look at some of those Scriptures this morning because, again, it's one of those things that's there in the Bible throughout, and yet you can read the Bible over and over, and if you don't get a focus for that particular part of things, you can just miss it altogether. We are going to consider Christ the Counselor. We are going to see how that relates, first of all, to the Scripture, what it says. And then we're going to look at the Savior, what He has accomplished, what He has done. And then we're going to think about the Spirit and what He continues to do in the life of the believer. Actually, with the Savior, we are going to consider what He offers, and then the Holy Spirit, what He does in our lives today. There are lots of counselors. I thought back in my own life, when was my first official experience with a counselor? Well, it would have been in school somewhere, probably junior high, senior high. If it hadn't happened in junior high, it certainly happened by senior high school. They gave you aptitude tests, and you've checked these different responses. What would you do in this situation? What would you do in that situation? If you had a choice of doing this or that or the other, which would you choose? And then they analyze those things, and they tell you based on that, well, this is where you have aptitude. And a guidance counselor at the school would sit down with each student and go over the results of that test with them and explain to them what was found out through that test. Well, there are all kinds of counselors: marriage counselors, family counselors, legal counselors, medical counselors. We sometimes talk about, well, you go to this doctor and he says thus and so. Get a second opinion. So what is a second opinion? That's counsel. That's going to someone and seeking their advice. There are financial counselors, all kinds of counselors. But Christ is the Counselor. And we are thinking about Him in that respect this morning. I said we're going to look at some Scriptures, and we are. Christ the Counselor, the Scripture, what it says. We're in the book of Isaiah. Let's begin right there, and then we'll look at a couple of other passages as well. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1. And that verse says, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. First of all, notice that those words, wonderful and counsel, appear together in the same verse. And there's another verse in Isaiah. We'll not look at it this morning, but it combines those two words just like Isaiah 9:6 does. He has done wonderful things. His counsels are of old and are faithful, and they are true. And we can know that when we come to the Word. The Lord gives us what we need. The Lord gives us the truth. I didn't plan to say this morning, but I'll say, do you get tired of lying? I mean, being lied to? You know, you hear, and I'm not attaching names. I mean, it's people in real life, and it's advertising. But you hear these statements being made, and you know while they're being made, that's not true. And then you hear statements where you're not sure. Am I getting the truth, or am I getting something that somebody has spun for me, and I'm supposed to believe certain things coming out of this, but I'm not being given the truth? Isn't it encouraging to the child of God to be able to come to the Word of God and hear the truth and know this has stood not only the test of time, it stood the test of eternity. It says of old, well, that the counsels of God of old. So they come from the eternal God. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. When I receive counsel, when you receive counsel, we want to know that we are receiving the truth and we are getting something that we can base our lives upon. Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So in the first verse that we looked at there in verse chapter 25, we are seeing that God's truth comes to us of old. But this verse tells us that what God says about the future will also take place because it's true. God knows the future just as well as He knows the past. And so when God speaks prophetically in His Word and tells us this is going to happen, that is going to happen, and in the course of this message, we'll look at some of those verses, we can know, we can mark it down, this is going to happen. This is going to take place because God's counsel is faithful and it is true. When you come to the books of the Psalms and the Proverbs, there are literally dozens of verses that talk about counsel. We only have time, of course, to look at a couple of those. So let's turn, first of all, to the book of Psalms, and let's go to the very first Psalm, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The very first verses of the book of Psalms, Psalms 1 and verses 1 and 2. And there the Scripture says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And again, a similar truth, God's word is true, but also a warning to us, don't listen to false counsel. Don't seek the advice of someone who isn't going to tell you the truth. And that doesn't matter what area of life. Spiritual matters. Again, financial matters, health matters, whatever the case might be. You want to receive counsel from somebody that you have confidence in that they are going to tell you the truth. And certainly the matter of the ungodly. Don't seek the counsel of the ungodly or think that people who do not know Christ are going to help you and be an encouragement to you in the things of God and of His Word and even in matters of living your life. Let's look at Psalm 33 for a minute. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Notice there, the Lord bringeth, verse 10, the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Now, many of you in this room this morning remember the end of the Cold War. I guess if you were putting a date on it, you would put it 1989. That was when the Berlin Wall was torn down. Again, for those of you who remember those days and those of you who are younger and study history, you know that President Reagan challenged Premier of Russia, Gorbachev, to tear down the wall. And he literally said to him in a public setting, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Well, there had been going back He has 30 years almost to the Cuban Missile Crisis. There had been what was called among the nations of the world the Cold War. There weren't necessarily shots being fired, but there was this tension between communism and the democracies of the world and the communist countries of the world. And both groups were arming up so that if a shot was fired, they could respond properly. And the United States took leadership in that particular thing, and the arms race had heated up, and finally it came to the point where the president of the United States was able to say, get rid of this wall that divides East Berlin and West Berlin. That's a clear demarcation between freedom and between communism. Get rid of it, tear it down. And they did. And most people would say that that was the end of the Cold War. This is aside. Pastor Dave was talking last Sunday evening about running down a rabbit trail. I'm going to run down a rabbit trail for 30 seconds, and then I'm going to come right back to why I was telling you about the end of the Cold War. I have a piece of the Berlin Wall. Back in those days, and we didn't have this building at all, we still met in what is the Fellowship Hall. We had missionaries, Dwight and Linda Morgan, who were missionaries in Germany, and they came on a Sunday evening to present their ministry. It was right after the Berlin Wall was torn down. And Dwight Morgan said, I have pieces of it with me, and I'm giving them to pastors who have me into their church. And I could take you home this morning and show you the desk in my study at home, and I have a piece about that big of the Berlin Wall. Interesting historical artifact. Okay, why are we talking about this? Well, coming out of that, there was a lot of talk among people that all this money that has been spent on armaments there's going to be a peace dividend where we're going to have all this excess money and we are going to be able to do wonderful things. A liberal newscaster, he was a news anchor at that time, and again, many of you will recognize the name. His name was Dan Rather. And he had some suggestions about how to use the peace dividend or how it was going to be developed. And he made two statements. He had counsel for his hearers. And this is what he said. First of all, we must have global control. Translated means we need to work through the United Nations from here on out so the nations of the world never get to the fever pitch that came during the height of the Cold War. And his second counsel, his second statement was this. He said, all future wars will be economic, not military. Isn't that profound counsel? He said, all wars will now be economic, not military. Well, the Bible says we need to be careful about taking counsel and where we get it, because that which is not of the Lord will come to naught. It will come to nothing. With that thought in mind, turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. We're going now from Psalms to Proverbs. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. And here the scripture says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That is a verse that is repeated several times in the book of Proverbs. And what it's saying, and it's talking to God's people. Of course, in the Old Testament, it's talking to the Jewish people who knew the Lord. And in a New Testament context, it would be for believers. It says there is safety, there is strength, there is help in a multitude of counselors. It's speaking of seeking the advice, seeking the counsel, seeking the help of God's people. And looking to them. You face a decision. You face a situation in your life. And you know other people, other believers who you have confidence, you have trust in. And you need some advice. You need some guidance. Well, you go to them and you say, here's the situation that I face. What would you advise me? What would you tell me to do? I know you have gone through something similar, so help me out here. And you may seek somebody else's counsel, and you'll discover among God's people that there is a correlation and a coming together and an agreement. And it helps you, first of all, to know what to do. And secondly, it gives a confirmation to your heart, the Lord is guiding me, the Lord is directing me. Well, I could look at other verses of Scripture with you this morning from the book of Proverbs. I'm going to let that go at this point. I'm going to just summarize this first point by saying that wise counsel should be sought and foolish counsel should be avoided. The wisest man, apart from Christ, who ever lived, was Solomon. Solomon could have asked many things of the Lord when he became king of Israel. But he said, Lord, more than anything else, I want to have wisdom. And the Lord said, Solomon, you've asked wisely. And because of that, I'm going to honor you and I'm going to give you a lot of things physically, materially, that you didn't ask for because you showed wisdom in asking for wisdom to guide my people, the nation of Israel. The Bible says there were two harlots that came to him one day. They had each had a child 3 days apart. They were, each of them gave birth to a son. One of them in the night accidentally slept on the child, suffocated the child. She awakened sometime before the other lady, and she switched babies on her. She put her dead child beside the other mother and took her living child. And now there are two ladies and one child, and they come to Solomon. And they say, what I just told you. And Solomon is to make a decision. And he said to somebody that was standing by, take the living child, take a sword and divide it in two. And the one lady said, that's fine. That's the only fair way to do this. The other lady, who was the true mother, said, no, don't kill my child. Give my child to the other woman. The wisdom of Solomon. Right after that, there came to the throne of Israel a king by the name of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was a son of Solomon. But there was discontent in the kingdom. And there was a man by the name of Jeroboam, who also desired to be king. So the people that were represented by Jeroboam came to Rehoboam and they said, make the taxes lighter. The government is too oppressive. Some things never change, do they? The government is too oppressive. Make our taxes lighter and make the burden and the responsibility of the state over us lighter. They were saying this to Rehoboam, and Rehoboam went to the older men and sought their counsel. And they said, go along with what they're saying. And you will have peace in your kingdom. Lighten the load a little bit. But he called in the younger counselors. And he asked them, what would you do? And they said, make it harder. Put more taxes on the people. Put more burdens. Put more responsibilities upon them. And so Rehoboam thought that over. And he finally got up before a group of the people. And he said, I'm not going to lighten what my father Solomon has done. In fact, my little finger is going to be thicker than my father's loins, than my father's thigh. In other words, it's going to get more and more. And so there was a revolt in the nation. And that's where you had then the northern kingdom, Israel, under the rule of Jeroboam, and the southern kingdom, Judah, under Rehoboam. He heard counsel, but he didn't seek wise counsel. He didn't follow wise counsel, and he had to have regretted that. Okay, we must move on. Christ the Counselor, the Scripture, what it says. And then Christ the Counselor, the Savior, what He offers. And I must ask you to turn to Romans chapter 11 and verse 34. Romans chapter 11 and verse 34. And here we find an interesting verse. It says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? God has never needed to seek counsel from anyone. The Lord has never had to go to somebody and ask, what would you do in this situation? I need help. I need your advice. You may think about the life of Christ. And I went back and read it this week where He had a multitude of people who had been with Him for a period of time. And He knew that He had to let them go home because they were hungry. They hadn't eaten in some time. And He drew to Himself, He called to Himself His disciple Philip. And He said, Philip, what should we do and where can we go to buy enough bread to feed this multitude of people? But the Bible says that Christ knew what He was going to do. He already knew that He was going to feed that multitude miraculously. But He was drawing someone else in to the situation. And Christ never had to ask anyone's advice. He never had to find out what somebody else was thinking. He never had to reverse a decision. He never had to retract a decision. He had never had to fine-tune it or refine it. He never had a regret for any word of counsel or any word that He ever spoke. Christ gives His counsel to us through His Word in the most important issues of time and eternity. Now you think about that for a moment. Christ gives us the right counsel for time, for our lives right now. People don't live to the point of the age of the people in this congregation this morning. But what you have asked yourself and you wrestled, why am I here? What is the meaning of life? What purpose does it have? And the only way you can find a valid answer to that question is the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that we are here to bring glory to God. The Word of God tells us that we are to, delight and find joy and rejoicing and gladness in the Lord. And as we do that, we find fulfillment in our lives. So we are here to glorify the Lord. Well, you say, well, preacher, that's a nice concept and a nice idea. How do you flesh that out? Well, Christ fleshed it out for us. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And when you take those two principles and you begin to seek to live them out in your life, you're going to find fulfillment. You're going to find joy. You are going to find delight, first of all, in God, whom we are called to love. And secondly, in showing love to others. Well, that relates to time. But what about eternity? Well, the Word of God has the answer there. And it tells us how to have eternal life. It tells us that not only do we have eternal life, but we can know that we have eternal life. I wouldn't have any idea how many people there are today who have some form of religiosity, some form of religion. And if you ask them, when you die, are you going to heaven? The first words out of their mouth are, I hope so. And they're not using hope in a biblical way. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to be. But they have no assurance. That they have nothing that confirms to their heart the truth of God's Word, that to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to be saved and to have everlasting life. When you begin to break things down and you begin to talk about what is the meaning and purpose of life, and when you begin to talk about eternity and knowing that through Christ Jesus, we are prepared for time and for eternity. You have asked and you have answered the things that really matter. And Christ's counsel is true. It is the Word of God. It is the truth of God. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus this morning, What it comes down to is that you and I have staked our eternity on Christ alone. We are not trusting in our goodness. We are not trusting in Christ plus someone else. We are, I've used this before, we have, as believers, we've put all of our eggs, as it were, in one basket. And we have said, my hope for eternity, and I'm using hope as in a biblical sense, my assurance for eternity. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And the Lord does, and the Lord will. And we can have assurance, and we can have confidence in time and in eternity because of the counsel of Christ Jesus, the words that he spoke, the truth that he has given to us. Christ the Counselor, the Scripture, what it says. Christ the Counselor, the Savior, and what he has offered to us in himself. Thirdly, this morning, I want to look at Christ the Counselor, the Spirit, and what he does. And before we look at a couple of verses in the book of John, I want to tell you something and why we're going to talk at this point about the Holy Spirit. The word counselor in the Old Testament and the word comforter in the New Testament are parallel words. Let me explain that for a moment. When you're talking about the Old Testament, you're talking about the Hebrew language. When you're talking about the New Testament, you're talking about that which was given in the Greek language. So you can't say, well, this word in the Hebrew is the same word as the word in the Greek, because you're going two different languages. But they are parallel words. When the Bible talks about a counselor in the Old Testament, and when Christ talked about the Holy Spirit as the comforter in the New Testament, he was saying he is a comforter. He is a counselor. He is one that you can come to, and he will guide you. He will direct you. In fact, he will guide you into all truth, and we'll see that as we look at the Scripture. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of John? John chapter 14 and verse 16. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Christ is speaking. He says, believest. I'm sorry. Verse 16. 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, another counselor, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Notice that. He not only dwells with you, the Holy Spirit dwelt with the people in the Old Testament, the people of Israel. But he did not. Most of the people of Israel never experienced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A handful did, but most did not. But he said, I will dwell with you through my Holy Spirit and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Before I make any other comments, look at verse 26. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I have some other verses, chapter 16, but I believe that we can put this together on the basis of what we've already looked at, and to realize that in the Holy Spirit, who lives within the life of each believer, we have the Counselor. We have Christ living within us, and he is there to guide us. He is there to direct us. Not only that, he leads and he guides. And you can go to an earthly counselor, and you can receive a counsel from somebody who knows the Lord, and they can tell you the truth of the Word of God. But there is no human counselor that can do what the Holy Spirit does, and that is that not only does he guide us into all truth, And not only does He live within us, but He gives us strength because He lives within us to carry out what He tells us and what He asks us to do. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. But the Holy Spirit will also help us to have the strength that we need to live for the Lord, to follow Him, to be obedient to His will. The Holy Spirit living within the heart of a believer gives us a desire, gives us, if you will, a want to follow the Lord and to be obedient to Him. If this morning you have a desire to please the Lord, you can know that that has come from the Lord Himself. If you have a desire in your heart this morning to know the Word of God better, you can know that that has come to you from God's Holy Spirit that lives within you. And you can know that when the Holy Spirit instructs you, that He is there to give you the guidance and the strength that you need. That comes from God. And sometimes the Lord's reasoning and the Lord's logic is not human, the way human reasoning and logic would go. In fact, sometimes it's just the opposite. Let me share just a couple brief areas like that. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Is that worldly knowledge and understanding? Absolutely not. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The Bible says the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The Bible says he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's Bible counsel. And that's the Holy Spirit who takes the Word of God and uses it in our lives. I'm going to do this briefly. But in closing, I just want to cite a classic sermon that deals with counsel. It was preached years ago by an evangelist named Lester Roloff. It was called Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. I won't even tell you about Lester Roloff. I'll get right to it. What he does in a message is he is setting forth a person who is outside of Christ. But that's this person, the Spirit of God has begun to work on them, and they are under conviction. And so they go to Dr. Law, and they say, Dr. Law, I have to tell you, I've got a problem with my feet. My feet take me to bars and to places like that, I shouldn't be going there. I've got a problem with my feet, and I've got a problem with my hands. My hands, I gamble and I do things with my hands I ought not to do. Dr. Law, it's my eyes. I look at things that I ought not to look at, and I've got a problem with my eyes. And Dr. Law, I've got a problem with my ears. My ears, I listen to things that I ought not to listen to. Now, I've got a problem, Dr. Law. What can you do for me? And Dr. Law says to him, he says, I can tell you, you don't have a problem with your hands, your feet, your eyes, and your ears. You have a problem with your heart. Dr. Law, I'd like to tell you, I've got some problems with things I mentioned, but I've got a good heart. My heart works well. So he goes on down the street and tries some other people, and he's not getting any help. And eventually, in the course of time, he comes back to Dr. Law, and he says, Dr. Law, I think maybe you're right. I think maybe the problem is my heart. And what can you do for me? And he said, well, I can't do anything for your heart, but I'll direct you next door to Dr. Grace. Dr. Grace can take care of your problem. And he talks about the cost of the operation. It's free. It's free. Free. Oh, okay. Well, it's surely going to hurt. No, it won't hurt. It'll be over just like that. And he goes to Dr. Grace, and he explains his condition, and he explains his need and his symptoms. And Dr. Grace points him to Christ, counsels him. Well, here is the answer to your problem. It is in Christ Jesus. And by faith, he looks to Christ and he is saved. He is born again. He becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus. Counsel is important. And Christ is the counselor. He is the one that we come to and we can understand what life is all about. We can understand where eternity is all about. And we can understand what the future is and what God wants us to know about that. And we can have confidence to live our lives in a way that the Lord is pleased and the Lord is honored. Let's pray together.